I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
KSL News Time, 4:15. The three things you need to know this hour first.
Police in Sandy are investigating vandalism at six churches of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The spray paint messages read things like "Predators Welcome" and "Save the Kids." I'm KSL News Radio's Amy Cobate.
Second, Unified Police are looking for a 16-year-old they say is missing and endangered in Holiday. Jackson Higby was last seen last night at around 8:30. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Just hearing from UHP on Twitter that the load spill northbound on I-215's west belt at 700 North. They've had to bring out the plows to scoop up all this gravel. It's going to be closed for another 10 to 15 minutes while they clear the roadway. Now, traffic is just being diverted at the exit ramp and at 700 North, and then you get right back on the freeway. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Still hot and dry today and tomorrow, then thunderstorms and cooler. I'm Matt Johnson.
We're still at 99 degrees. Now, KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. He's considered a target of a criminal investigation in Georgia into attempts to overturn the 2020 election. Today, former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani testified before a special grand jury in Atlanta.
We're not sure how cooperative he's necessarily being, though, because he had already said he would invoke attorney-client privilege if asked to discuss his conversations with former President Trump. And he said he would likely invoke his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination because he is a target of this ongoing criminal investigation into the effort to overturn the results of the election in Georgia. And Rudy Giuliani was right at the forefront of it.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. A hearing is set for tomorrow on a request from multiple media outlets to unseal the affidavit supporting last week's FBI search of former President Trump's Florida home. Federal officials got a firsthand look at what the Western drought has done to farmers and others in California.
Our shared priority is to support efforts to build resilient communities and protect our water supplies for people and the natural environment for generations to come.
Interior Secretary Deb Haaland. The CDC says after an internal review, it's overhauling the agency. The center says it failed to meet the moment of COVID-19's arrival. The Syrian government is denying it's holding U.S. Marine Austin Tice. The nation's foreign ministry accusing the U.S. of making misleading and illogical statements about Syria kidnapping or detaining American citizens, including Tice. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
That statement does nothing to change our fundamental position. And that is the fact that we call on the Syrian government to ensure that Austin Tice and every U.S. national held hostage in Syria can return home.
Tice went missing a decade ago. The Dow closed down more than 170 points today. You're listening to ABC News.
Now the KSL in-depth Salt Lake County District Attorney's Office says the first phase of their plan to keep low-risk offenders out of court has been a success. D.A. Sim Gill offered some insights into the first trial run of his pilot criminal justice diversion program.
2 years ago, we had a press conference, and we wanted to test out a hypothesis, which was that we use sort of a single sort of way of addressing all criminal behavior. Could we divert people and slow the flow of criminalization with proper accountability and better outcomes? And what would that diversion look like? So what we did is we diverted 450 cases. There's 100 still participating. 350 people moved out of the program. And the result was that 313 graduated successfully. 37 out of those 350 flunked out, and we filed charges on them. So they were held accountable. And then we looked at the data from those who graduated successfully, and we found out that their recidivism was only 8%. And that was phenomenal. That was phenomenal.
The DEA calls the program a win for law enforcement as well as the Justice Department.
We have an interest in changing behavior, not disproportionately impacting people in a way that we put a millstone around their neck. And it was great to recognize that this is effective policing, but it is that balance between compassion and accountability.
The motivations behind the reform pilot program ultimately are for the betterment of all Utahns and improving our society.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.